This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I hope maybe Crane can be for them now.
Yep, exactly. Anyway, thanks to Tim Duncan for joining us here on the show. All right, when we come back, got some news. There's going to be a visitor to the University of Memphis as they are hosting Precious Achiuwa on an official visit today through tomorrow. The day after they get done with Precious, they're going to have a new visitor on campus. We'll tell you about him when we come back. Stick around. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Broadcasting on 92.9, 680 AM and online at 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
When I came home last night. Hi, we're back, Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Bob Ryan going to join us in the next segment. We'll talk NBA with him. Boston Celtics moving on. Kyrie Irving. Lots to get to with Bob Ryan at 12:25. But before we do that, we got to do the rundown. Leg out.
Now, it's the rundown. The biggest midday stories from Jason and John. Everything y'all need on 92.9 FM, ESPN. First story.
All right, so more Memphis basketball recruiting news. Been texting a little bit with Rajon Tucker, who we had on the show last week, who told us he was going to visit Memphis last week, and he's going to. Little Rock graduate transfer guard Rajon Tucker is going to visit Memphis this week, starting Thursday. So they're going to get Precious Achiuwa out of here on Wednesday, and then the next day they're going to start hosting Rajon Tucker. Rajon Tucker averaged 20.3 points a game last year. Talented guard, obviously. Shot the ball well. Shot the ball very well. You like to see that. No question about it.
Here in the forum as well.
Yeah, he just came off a visit to Auburn. So, obviously, there is some stiff competition for Memphis as it relates to Rajon Tucker. But they're in a great spot because, honestly, now you're getting into the part of it where you can almost leverage. You can almost leverage guys against each other. Because, frankly, I mean, you've got your recruiting Precious. You're recruiting Trendon. You're recruiting Lester, and you're recruiting Rajon. You got three spots right now. Now, you could free up four, but are you really going to do that? Like, is that really going to happen at this juncture? I don't know. But you could, I guess, in theory, right? I guess it's not crazy to think you could end up with Precious, Lester, and Rajon. I guess that's not crazy. Now, somebody's not going to play. You know, that's the other thing. Somebody is going to be unhappy next season. I don't know who it is. Mm-hmm. Because there's only so many minutes to go around. Rajon Tucker's not going to come here and not play.
Right.
That's the first thing. He's a graduate transfer. He's got 1 year left. And we had him on last week, and he talked about, you know, playing with James Wiseman and upping his NBA exposure. Now, he's declared for the NBA draft.
Which should be said.
Yeah, but
a lot of people have.
And who hasn't is the better question. Who hasn't declared? I think David Wingett has declared for the NBA draft.
No, he hasn't.
But that's my point. Like, everybody has. So that would be the one thing I would be sort of I would watch, you know, because you're going to play Lester. Lester's not coming here to sit. He's a top 50 kid, you know. Rajon is not coming here to sit. So somebody's going to lose minutes.
You didn't even say the words R.J. Hampton yet. Which
R.J. Hampton?
I know people like to not talk about
this
until the kid reclassifies.
You're right. No, it's a good point.
With us having had his father
on
the show.
I feel like I was forgetting somebody,
With us having had his father on the show and having basically told us there is no reason for them not to reclassify, just for me, I'm operating in that world.
No doubt.
I'm operating in the world that this year, this recruiting season, you will be competing for R.J. Hampton services as well. So, again, until somebody tells me different, until dad says, nah, you know what, we're going to go prep school route, I don't foresee, because he said there's no reason to go back to the high school they're at right now. The coach is gone. It's more of a rebuild sort of with the players that are back there. Again, I'm figuring that Memphis is going to be in the hunt for a reclassified R.J. Hampton. How does that fit into the fold? Again, for me, it's always felt like sort of a graduate transfer or R.J., or maybe it's like John said, you open up to four, you take both of them with Lester, with Precious. Who knows how it works out, but I certainly feel like, you know, Memphis is expecting to be in the running for him, and I feel like they expect him to reclassify.
No doubt.
I mean, if he's saying that to us, John, what's he telling them? Like, that's what I'm – if he's that open with where they are right now and their decision to reclassify, again, until I hear news differently, it feels like he's coming out and he will be available.
You want a Precious update or nah?
Dude, if they have moved locations, I absolutely need an update.
They have moved locations from
where's the
Precious
camp?
They're on Beale Street right now doing the photo shoot.
Yeah.
Precious is doing the photo shoot in the Memphis jersey.
On Beale.
That's going to turn out pretty well, I bet.
Enjoy yourself.
That's going to turn out pretty good. Now, a lot of people don't know this. I'm actually the seventh Achiuwa. That's what people don't know about me.
No,
I am actually...
That fine family wouldn't claim you.
Yes, they do.
Because they sound like some church folks. The names of those kids, they sound like church folk, John. And they'd be just like me. They're waiting on you to come home.
I am actually...
And so until you're there, they're already home. Until you're home, I don't think you can really be an Achiuwa.
My name is God's Child, Achiuwa.
Well, you are God's Child.
That's my real name.
You're not an Achiuwa.
That's my real name. You can call me GC.
We just call you Child?
Nope, just call me GC, bro.
Dude, okay? I thought your name was Patty Pump.
That's not that in the Achiuwa family.
Oh, you don't
family.
Like that no more. Huh?
In the Achiuwa family.
Now this guy wants to be part of Precious' family.
I am part of Precious' family. Just to give
you got to prove yourself.
His mother's name is Eunice, and his father's name is Donatus. Donatus.
Love it.
These are like very strong names. You know, these are very, you know. So I will keep you guys updated. I would like for you to start referring to me as God's Child, Achiuwa, please. But that is the latest. Rajon Tucker is visiting the University of Memphis, and I don't know, like, on one hand, it is, as I think the word you've used is intoxicating, right?
Yeah.
And so to be involved and be sincerely involved with all of these people and all these players, that's most definitely intoxicating. But there's another end to that, you know? There's another side of all of this.
Mm-hmm.
There's just not room. There's not room for all of this to take place. So somebody got to go.
Well, that's why you saw Antoine Jones not here.
Okay, that's one dude.
That was a clearing
and
of
you know
space,
what?
Bro.
And people were devastated. They were like, no, how could this happen?
I mean, when it first hits you, you know, for everything you've invested in Antoine, if you're a fan or, quite frankly, if you're the coaching staff, it's kind of like you. Because you see the talent there.
Of course.
But you have to
There's always collateral damage.
You're not allowing that sort of talent and
that's
that potential
right.
to walk out the door without having something that's either as good or preferably better. Why would you like the move if it's just the same or worse?
When you got the Memphis Tiger basketball beat job, how did you get it?
I got it because Dan Walken moved on, basically.
That's right.
And I won it by default.
No, you earned it.
Well, I've been on the preps.
And they're like, dude,
they took a, just like this radio show, John, they took a real chance on me.
They did.
And they based it on my relationships with the Memphis kids, many of whom were signing with Josh that year in 2010,
that's right.
part of that highly ranked class. And there were many in the CA, even in my own sports department, John.
They doubted.
You gave it to the wrong dude.
Well, at least they gave you a big raise when you got the job.
What are you talking about? Made the same damn thing. Imagine that. People think you got the best in the job in the world. In many ways, you do. You're covering something that the entire city cares about. And who cares if it gets a little down? Because when it's down, the city gets mad. And the point is, I mean, you're covering the Tigers at you're covering Tiger basketball. You're the most read thing at the CA.
That's right.
You've got a very secure gig,
and
quite frankly, let's be real, in an industry that was crumbling.
Yes.
But John, I was making that prep money.
Mm.
Same thing.
Fire your agent.
So you talk about blessings. Praise Jesus, y'all.
Fire your agent.
That radio came and
who
got
was
me.
Representing you at the time, bro?
I did not have an agent.
I'm shocked. I can't believe it.
I didn't have the balls to go in there and demand a raise in a industry where they were laying folks off.
All right,
left
well,
and right.
Okay, but again, though.
You go in there and ask for a raise, what's going to happen? We'll replace you with a young stud coming out of college. We'll give him $20-something thousand. And he'll post
$20,000.
They ain't paying much.
Damn, bro.
Newspaper business ain't paying much to start.
You should have gone back to Imperial for that money, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Goodness gracious.
It was hard out here for a newspaper man for a minute.
But at least you got to go to Maui a couple times.
That was nice.
And they paid.
I went to Maui once. And I went to Bahamas once.
Okay,
a couple times.
And they paid for you to go.
Oh, yeah. Now, that again, there were many parts of that job that did make it. I'm not sitting here if not for that gig.
No doubt. It's a good gig.
It's one of the best
in the city.
There is no question about
it. To cover that team.
Forget me. I mean, I probably didn't. If you compare it to where Gary Parrish is these days,
yeah.
Compare it to where Dan Walker, look at what that beat has been for folks. I'm probably the runt story, the guy that didn't do much with it, but if you want to laugh or something. I mean, I would say it turned out pretty well for me. I'm awfully happy, and I've always said that I didn't want to go be the big national guy and have to know something, John.
But you are a national writer, though.
I'm a national writer covering one team.
Oh, yes.
What I'm saying is Walken, Gary Parrish, those guys, to the sort of the degree they went,
yeah.
National covering college basketball one time. Now, I know Walken sort of shifted in what his role is.
Yeah.
But you got to know something about the fourth and the fifth team from the Big 12. You know what I'm saying? You got to know something about every team in America. And I always thought that was going to be too much of a.
It's like doing national radio.
Correct.
You know what I mean? It's like, oh my, how am I supposed to know everything about everybody?
Like, I don't know who Oregon's got coming back this night. You know what I'm saying? Like, or just throw me at Virginia Tech. Their job is to know something on everybody. I just wanted to know everything I could about the one team I covered and make that matter here in Memphis and sort of feed that beast. You know, you're doing a service. It's not about you. It's about feeding the beast that are these fans. They want that information. Anyway, long story short, it's a great job. There's no question about it. Wasn't doing too much.
And if you were
was in debt.
And if you were working there right now, you would have to follow my tweet that Rajon Tucker is visiting the University of Memphis this week. Fortunately, we're teammates, and so we get to bask in the glory together.
Well, you weren't this good. When I was the newspaper.
That's true. I got a couple, but
I see you weren't this good then.
It's taken time.
What'd you get? You got Bowen, which was weird, right?
Well, we weren't competitors for that long.
Anyway.
We actually
those were the good old days.
We've been working together.
Not
for
really.
We've worked together for about a decade now. Really, when you think about it. Close to a decade. Eight years.
It's a testament to you, the fact that you've been in this business 10 years, the fact that and as young as you are, that means you started as a teenager.
I was 17 years old.
Kids, you listening to John Martin's story?
That's right.
You 18, you ain't got no job, you already behind.
That's right. You got to have a 401k by the time you're 17 years old.
You got to be breaking news stories at 17 years old.
Anyway, Rajon Tucker is the latest.
Catching John.
It's the latest notch in my bedpost. How about that? Rajon Tucker is visiting the University of Memphis.
Weird way of putting it.
And it'll be interesting to see... sort of how Memphis navigates this. It's like you said, it's kind of like a high wire act, right?
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting, but it's good to have the guys on campus. Rajon will be here starting on Thursday.
Next story.
How about Russell Wilson, the perfect gift giver he is?
He is.
You guys know he's rich. Signed a 4-year, $140 million contract extension, making him the highest paid player. And I'm talking about the Seattle Seahawks quarterback, obviously, Russell Wilson, the man we saw last week take us to the hotel.
Yep.
Right? The Wilson Hotel. He talked in his deep voice and his sexy voice with Sierra in there right after they signed up. Anyway, he's given a gift to all of his offensive linemen, and that gift comes in the form of $12,000 in Amazon stock apiece.
Mm-hmm.
How about that? The gift that doesn't depreciate, right?
It should not depreciate.
A lot of guys, a lot of quarterbacks, and probably given their, I can think of many examples of giving their offensive linemen watches and cars, I think, in some examples, and those are things, of course, that can, I don't know, I guess if you can get a Rolex. I guess if you can give your lineman Rolex, that thing does pretty good.
Yeah, no, I'd like a Rolex, but can you get a Rolex for 12 grand? I don't think so.
I don't think so. Yeah. I don't think so. So anyway,
Maybe you can get a Rolex somewhere for $12,000.
Russell Wilson got paid, and he's giving it out. I'm sure these offensive linemen love it. He wrote a little note to him. You want to hear it?
Let's hear it.
You sacrifice your physical and mental well-being to protect me, which in turn allows me to provide and care for my family. This does not go unnoticed, and it is never forgotten. Rarely does Russell Wilson miss with words, with gifts. I mean, is he not the new Tim Tebow just in terms of perfection,
in
terms of a walking example of what we want to be like, John?
This is, you know, this will hopefully serve your family well when later in life you can't remember anybody because you have CTE. Thank you.
Man, you just...
I mean, I'm just being real.
You just changed the mood of this entire show with that.
That's what he's saying, though. He's like, you're risking your physical and mental well-being for me. You know, like, I probably would have left that part out. I'd have been like, thank you for everything. Just, you know, you don't have to spell it out. You know what I mean?
Do you know what Russell Wilson's a good gift giver? I'm going to try to move on from that, John, without depressing before my drives off the road in depression.
Don't let your kids play football.
For his wife, Sierra, he did another smart thing. He bought her master's. You know, she's a music.
Yes.
She's a music, John. She's into R&B, and she's a really good dancer. He bought all her music master's, which apparently are worth millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm. It ain't cheap.
You want to own those yourself if you can, because that's going to, John, that's never going to go away. You know what I mean? And you talk about something appreciating, that's probably going to appreciate in value. He bought them for her as a Christmas gift.
That's awesome.
This is a man that is not doesn't mind spending that money and using it on some very wise gifts.
Now, if I was going to buy you some stock for being a great teammate, I know you're going to say Target.
You would get me Target stock.
No, I would get you some Lululemon.
Hmm?
I'd get you some Lululemon stock.
What's that?
Lululemon's an apparel company.
I think. Have you told me about this before?
It's mostly leggings.
Yeah. Well, it's like.
it's another women thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's what
it's hot though, man. I mean, they're huge.
Is it hot,
bro? You gotta invest in the ladies, man. Ladies
always
is where it's
towards,
at.
Yeah.
Because they're the shoppers, bro. They're the consumers. I mean, men buy things, of course, but like generally speaking, like women are the one. They're in the brick and mortar. Like they're the ones ordering the stuff.
Okay.
You know, so you got to cater to the ladies, man. And Lululemon makes some men. They have men's, you know, apparel as well.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, again, Target. I'm telling you, that is just a hot spot. Even though we're hurting a little bit today, I believe in Target. And also, again, Lululemon, man. I just don't think you can go wrong. I don't think you can go wrong with, you know, women's workout apparel, bro. Women love to work out, bro.
I'll keep that in mind.
It's what they do, man. They want to go to Orange Theory. They want to go to F45. They want to go to all these different places. Like,
yeah, but men work out too.
Of course, but like, do they spend the money that women spend on workout gear? Men will be like, up on tank top, let's go. You know, women, like, they want to look pretty. They want to look cute. You know, they want to have the best. They want to spend. Men don't want to do that for the most part. I'll buy the Rock shoes, but, you know, I'm different. You won't buy the Rock shoes to go work out in. You put on your grass cutters. You'll say, let's go. You see what I'm saying?
I see. That makes some sense.
My girlfriend went and bought a $60 pair of leggings just
Bam.
To go work out. She had a pair of shorts and T-shirt. Wasn't good enough. She went to Target and bought a pair of leggings for
Bam.
This like, one day.
See, I mean, all of this is coming. I feel like a light is turning on.
What I need is a site to buy and sell sneakers.
StockX.
Like that.
That already exists.
And own it.
That already exists. Multiple of those.
But
already.
Mine will take over.
What will be different?
I don't know. I have to figure that out.
Okay, well, you're going to have to.
But for guys like you that I can trap that are going to be doing that stuff forever, right?
You're going to be trapping me. I'm buying something.
Well, I'm saying you're addicted to shoe buying, to tennis shoe. You're a sneakerhead, basically.
Yes.
You're not that East Young level, but you're there.
Right.
That's never going away.
Yes.
So I could get one. I just need an edge.
Because you got GOAT, and you got Flight Club, and you got StockX.
Oh, there's too many. See, I wasn't aware there's that many.
Yeah, but maybe you can be different, though, like you said. Maybe
that's
you
my
can,
plan.
You can sell Bobos.
I'll be cheaper.
Yeah, you can sell Bobos.
They're not buying Bobos.
Bobo Exchange. Yeah, they will.
They don't buy Charlie Bobos.
All right, we'll come back. Bob Ryan's going to join us. We will talk to him about the NBA. The Celtics are moving on. Milwaukee fans chanted, "We won Boston." We will talk to him about that and more when we come back. Jason and John, 93.9 FM, ESPN. All right.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Guests appear on the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Hotline.
Broadcasting on 92.9, 680 AM and online at 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
All right, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN, and as promised, his name is Bob Bryan. He's the sports columnist emeritus at the Boston Globe. You can catch him on Around the Horn from time to time, and he joins us now. Bob, how are you?
I'm doing just fine, thank you.
We appreciate the time, always. So I want to start here with the Memphis Grizzlies. It was a tumultuous couple weeks ago because they have the exit interviews, and they roll out Chris Wallace as the general manager, and Chris Wallace, you know, says J.B. Bickerstaff is going to be back as the head coach, and, you know, he feels good about the future. And then 3 hours later, he is relieved of his duties, or reassigned, I should say, and J.B. Bickerstaff was fired. Have you, I mean, you've covered the NBA for a while. Have you seen anything quite like that?
No, the timing of it all, though, the chronology of it all, not the timing, was very unusual. But things happen in sports. This is, Dave Gettleman, the general manager of the New York Giants, said we didn't sign Odell Beckham to trade him, and I think we all know where he's going to be playing football next year. Things happen. I was particularly interested in this one because I do go back a long way with Chris Wallace, and I've always followed his career with great interest, and so it got my attention. But and it was unusual, and obviously I can't speak to it. I'm 1,000 miles away, but I was certainly interested in it on a personal basis because of Chris.
It's complicated when you you assess the way a general manager does his job and you evaluate a tenure, because on one hand, Chris Wallace was, you know, instrumental in putting together and composing the team that really helped Memphis fall in love with NBA basketball.
No doubt.
Zach Randolph, Tony Allen, Marc Gasol, Mike Conley. On the other hand, there are bad contracts. Chandler Parsons, there are bad trades where he traded for, you know, he traded Jeff Green for, a, you know, for, or traded for Jeff Green and gave away a first rounder that they still owe Boston. So how do you, and what is the best way, Bob, to evaluate a general manager?
Well, obviously, results, it's results-oriented. All sports are results-oriented. That's rather self-evident. And it was a point in time when the Grizzlies were in position to get something accomplished. They know we speak in sports in terms of a window. The window was open for them to make some waves in the West and really be a competitive team and maybe even dream about winning a championship. But then decisions were made that haven't worked out. I mean, I can't be an apologist for Chris. You cited some things that are irrefutable, and it had to come back and haunt him. You want the truth? The truth is I'm surprised he lasted as long as he did, given that circumstance. Mm-hmm. I'm always happy that, you know, as I said, I care about him personally, and he's going, you know, certainly he's been well compensated. He's going to be fine. A little ego bruise is understandable right now, but he's a big boy. He'll get over it. I'm sure he's jarred a little bit, but you know, the fact is that things did not go the way they trended downward for too long.
Bob, here's what I want to know: what's this Boston Milwaukee series going to be like in terms of things you're looking forward to? I got to imagine this series is high on your list. Feels like, you know, we were all yawning
well,
there
it's
first
very
round
series in that you have two teams coming off sweeps, and I do not. It's rare, if not necessarily unprecedented. I haven't had the chance yet. This morning early afternoon to research accurately to see if we've ever had this happen, that after the first that the teams playing in the second round mm-hmm. in this four-tier playoff system that we now have ever each been coming off sweeps. I doubt it, but someone's going to have to look that up quickly and find that out. That's very interesting. It's not necessarily a clash of titans. I'm not saying these
right.
are all-time teams, God knows, but it's still teams that are potent. And,
yes.
and are coming off very impressive first round series. The Bucks more than the Celtics, although their opposition was feeble. The Pistons, who were the worst team in the playoffs, were to start with them in pair, not having Griffin for two games, and he was never with himself. And they had a rout of almost historic proportions. I looked it up, or I figured it out. The average score of the four games was 121-95. And I don't know if we've ever had a worse and embarrassing sweep in the history of the league, including what the Lakers were able to do at certain points in their history. Mm-hmm. The Celtics huffed and puffed and got it done in a lot more, a more difficult fashion over the Pacers. But what I'm looking for, a couple of things. One, what are the Celtics going to do with you-know-who?
Yes.
Giannis, the Greek Freak, how can they keep him to a point where he's only damaging them, not killing them? And B, is what we're seeing of Gordon Hayward, the Gordon Hayward now that's going to be for the next foreseeable future for the Celtics? Because the Gordon Hayward who we've seen lately, particularly on Sunday, is the guy they gave the big money to. He's the all-star from Utah. He's playing free and easy. He's playing basketball. He's not worrying about, if I do this, in the back of his mind, if I do this, is my ankle going to react? No, none of that. He's playing. He's back comfortable, and that's a hell of a player. So, and the other thing, of course, is Kyrie and what the ramifications will be, how they fare will have anything to do with his decision to go or stay.
You mentioned Giannis. Obviously, a brilliant night for him. 41 points, scored 1.7 points per minute in the second half in that game. So he's absolutely ridiculous, and a great regular season for them, no question about it. My question to you, though, Bob, is when you look at Giannis, he's 24 years old, physically a freak. Does he have the makeup to lead this Bucks team to a finals appearance, though?
Yes, because why should you doubt? Why should we doubt that their accomplishment wasn't for real, that what they did by having the best record in the regular season wasn't for real, particularly off what we just saw with Detroit. 24, hey, there have been plenty of people who have accomplished things in this league. You look up the Trailblazers who won in 1977, they had four of their starters were 25 or under, and they would have been a dynasty if Walton hadn't gotten hurt. But anyway, it can happen. No, he's not done. You know, he's going to improve that shot. Whenever he gets reliable on a three, and then it's going to be, just not even fair.
Bob, does Jason Tatum have a weakness? I'm looking at the superstar potential in him. I'm just curious of your thoughts on him, whether he'll be that superstar in Boston and eventually be the guy that leads that team. We know his father, Bobby, seems to have it all. He wants the ball in the key moments. Just what were your thoughts on him and how good he can be?
It took a while for him to this year to figure out how he wanted to play. He was playing at this point a year ago. He was playing loose and easy himself.
Yes.
And had figured this league out very quickly. Yes, but does he have a weakness? Technically, no. What he needs to do is just have a better full assessment of what he can do and when he should do it. Mm-hmm. The big thing that they've talked about this year is that he wasn't going to the hoop. Well, the other day he finally went to the hoop and he had the most free throw attempts he's had all season long.
Yep.
Good time for him to figure himself out, I must say, because he can make threes, he can go to the hoop, he can rebound, he can pass. He's a stable young man. He's a dream guy to have around at this age. He's only 21.
I know.
He's a keeper, total keeper. Is he Giannis? No, there's only one Giannis right now in terms of that skill package. But yeah, you start thinking about, we're talking about the great young players, the Donovan Mitchells and a few others. He's right there.
Yes, sir.
I think he's right there, and he's not going any. And I would weep if he would be part of any package for that's all, folks. I don't want him going anywhere.
I love it. We are, of course, talking to Bob Ryan, sports columnist emeritus for the Boston Globe. Bob, some have argued that Russell Westbrook's post-game antics with the media, sort of his refusal to answer questions sincerely, next question, that's a good question, I don't know. Some have argued that his antics are harmful for the NBA in that it creates a wider gulf between the players and the fans. Where do you come down on that?
Well, obviously, as a writer, and you're not happy when people act that petulantly and that childishly and that contemptuously. He doesn't have any respect for us, capital U, capital, us, the media. Mm-hmm. He has this particular thing with
Barry Trammell.
With Barry, this is going back several years, and he hasn't. I just learned about the whole background of it on The Athletic the other day. I was unaware of the whole scope of it, and how long this has been going on. And we've seen petulant people before, and they're boors, that B-O-O-R, and Yeah, the public doesn't care about any of this. They don't care about our problems with it. We sometimes, you know, we have been guilty, and we're always, I think, in the nature of our beast, guilty of internalizing this. And yeah. The fact is, it's our problem. He doesn't want to talk. He's going to be a jerk. If he wants to portray himself as a jerk in front of the public, hey, go right ahead. You know, we can, you know, it's not hurting the league, I don't think. I think that's a little bit of a pompous attitude on the part of the media. It's just making himself. He's just looking like a jerk.
Did you ever have an athlete, Bob, that you clashed with that routinely?
No, not like that. There wasn't an ongoing thing where there was a thing where, you know, no, I never had that. I mean, I've had moments. You've had issues with people, you know, and no question. And I had a guy yelling at me in a locker room after he left the team, Sidney Wicks, you know, and it was great because Sidney said that I got him run out of Boston. And for once I had, you know, usually we remember the thing, recall with the great comeback, you know, 2 days later. But I said, Sidney, if I had that power, I would have done it sooner. So, you know, the answer is yes, I had some problems. We all have problems. But in many cases, whatever problems were ironed out. But sometimes they just aren't.
Bob, I'm curious on your opinion on this. Is what Pop does when he, you know, maybe it's a weak question he feels, and in some cases he embarrasses the reporter. Is that any different than what Westbrook's doing?
Well, Pop's biggest things are the TV things, which true. You know, he was, and it's not necessarily, and he's very mirthy, he's very full of mirth, and you know, he knows the game, you know the game he's playing.
He's playing a game, yeah.
You know the game he's playing after the game. You know, the media, the print media, and the electronic media, the local people deal with him on a day-to-day basis, know the game he's playing. Mm-hmm. And this game he plays with the national media, after the, you know, let's face it, those interviews are stupid. They're pointless. They don't, there's only a couple of people around who really ever make them worthwhile. John Calipari during college basketball season will come up with a great answer. Okay, mm-hmm. We know that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes a doc is pretty good. Sometimes but they all hate this thing. It's a waste. It's a waste of their time, and it doesn't benefit us.
The
consumer either. They're stupid. But all sideline reporting is superfluous except for one thing. Report on injuries. Other than that, sideline reporting is a needless exercise.
Bob, do you enjoy watching James Harden?
No. And less and less. And I revel every time he goes boing. And, you know, and I'm no fan of his. I appreciate the skill, and what he's done is remarkable to a degree. But no, I do not enjoy watching him play, and I do not. And he's making me do something I didn't think I'd ever say, which is I want a Mike D'Antoni team to lose. I used to love Mike D'Antoni, but as long as he's associated with that guy, they're off my list for the time being.
Is it the flopping? Is it the pinch hand for getting to the free throw line all the time?
Not calling travel on him. I mean,
what is it?
Yeah, there's something I don't know. You know, just. No one ever said that a fan has to be rational. I mean, we all know that going back to our high school days, that there were people on the other team that you just something about them got in under your skin. You couldn't stand them, and, you know. And this is endemic. It's always been the case. And he's just grown on me and festered, if you will, in a negative way on me. And I do not like watching him play.
Does that mean in the MVP debate, Bob, you would lean toward Giannis? You would pick Giannis?
You know, I'd like to. Then I could turn around and say, but being a noble fellow and honorable, I would vote for him, even though I don't like him. I could always say that, but I probably would vote for Giannis.
Gotcha, Bob. This is always a pleasure. We
Thank
appreciate
you for
the
this
time
so much,
as always.
Ryan.
Okay, guys.
Yep,
pleasure.
He is Bob Ryan, sports columnist emeritus for the Boston Globe. I like how we've kind of just like. You know, we go to Bob, like, so we'll touch base, we'll check in with Bob every couple months, you know, when there's, like, a big Boston story, you know.
Yeah,
I kind of like having that presence there.
We got to check in with our man Vessi here pretty soon, too.
Yeah, last night, even though the Jazz pulled away, I mean, there were several plays that I think Get Up sort of highlighted where, you know, James got away with like four offensive fouls. You know, like he's.
Did
just
you see
shoving.
The one where they did finally call a they travel call a on travel. Him and his little baby, like the little baby steps? He was like, dude, took like eight steps.
It was like a celebration, man.
It was almost like he couldn't play.
That was a huge, huge night for Donovan Mitchell.
That was huge, but they were good in the fourth quarter. That game was still there for the taking for
yes.
Houston until
yes.
the fourth, and they
Donovan exploded.
And in the meantime, the Rockets are going 0-13 from three. And that's the thing is that, you know, Bob says it's James and that stuff. That team, it's either all threes or nothing. And that's the thing. When they, it was 31-12 in the fourth quarter, they get outscored because they go 0-13 from three, and the game's over.
Exactly.
But they've got so many guys that can hit them, typically they're going to go down, and that's why they win.
Yep. So anyway, appreciate Bob Ryan for joining us there in that segment. We'll come back. Brian Scalabrine is going to join us at 105. We will talk to him, continue the conversation about the NBA playoffs and more. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Yeah.
Broadcasting on 92.9, 680 AM and online at 92.9ESPN.com. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Lose it all. 20-908, apartment 4, I remember. We were tramping in and out the door, I remember. Miss Shirley House breaking down them things, I remember. I used to serve my partner mama, she's a crack fiend, I remember. I remember. Hey, I ain't know no better, my, I apologize for that.
All right, so Lewis is a loyal listener to the show, and he's had multiple conversations with the Live Love Memphis team over the last several months. He was going back and forth between wanting to sell his house or not, and he finally decided he wanted to do it. He wanted to get his home sold, and he picked the Live Love Memphis group because we said he should. Good advice. Listen to us every now and then. They listed his home last Monday. It was under contract the next day. That's what the Live Love Memphis group will do for you.
Yep. Appreciate Lewis listening to us. In this case, it paid off for him. And appreciate the job that Jennifer Carstensen and that team's always doing for Lewis and other Memphians, including myself. She's done it for me. I've got a personal testimony. You guys have heard it. I thought I'd never be able to sell that old house I was in. Jennifer got it done. I did a virtual listing with them, and within 6 days, I had multiple offers. I took the one on full asking, them paying closing. You're not going to beat that, and that's the work the Live Love Memphis group is going to do for you. So why don't you visit the website? It's livelovememphis.com. You can do a little more homework. You're going to like what you see. The phone number is 901-685-6000. Again, 685-6000. The person to call is Jennifer Carstensen. She is the captain of this team. She'll get it sold for you, and if you'd like, the folks over at the Live Love Memphis group will get you into your new home. Let's call it your dream home as well. The Live Love Memphis group, simply the best.
Simply the best indeed. Brian Scalabrine going to join us at 105. So we will talk to him about the NBA. Very excited to catch up with him. There was a story that I meant to get to in the rundown, Jason, and it's very interesting. And it's about Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning, of course, who works out at LA Fitness here in Memphis. He frequents.
He's working out that neck.
Is he working out that neck? Mm-hmm. He was on the bike when my wife ran into him. My wife took a picture of him.
He was for real at LA Fitness in Memphis?
Yeah, bro. This is like,
working out.
This is like a year ago or so.
His wife's from here, right?
Yeah, his wife's from here, and yeah. He was at LA Fitness. Now, there's a policy that says you cannot take pictures of people at the gym, but my wife disregarded those rules, and she took a picture.
I can't remember when I was at the country club as Mr. Busboy, if the wife was like was a member there.
Yeah.
I want to say, anyway, that was like the red room talk. Mm-hmm. Talk in the red room. You don't among the waiters and busboys.
What, that Peyton was around?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
You know his wife, Bridget, does she come for money?
Now, see, when were you at the country club? What year?
After the flunking out of TSU, losing the presidential.
So what year would this have been?
That would have been mid-90s.
So this was when Peyton was like becoming who mm-hmm. he was.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been cool, man, for sure. Just watch out in the masseuse room. You know, you got to be careful. Anyway.
I didn't do no masseuse room, buddy.
And you got to be careful. Anyway, Peyton Manning is great. He is fantastic. And anytime he talks about football, it's fantastic. Like, who doesn't – I don't know how you don't and can't enjoy.
He's so funny.
I mean, he's just good. He's just charismatic.
No, I'm actually being real. The dude is, and that's why he's so great on commercials. Like, just his natural sense of humor is something I think most of us find funny.
No doubt. And the way he sort of breaks down things, you know, he's done that sort of detail series like Kobe does, you know. He's done that on ESPN Plus. I've watched a few of those.
You know what he is?
Down the place.
He embraces the sort of corny humor. He knows he comes off as a cornball, but he embraces it and makes it funny by embracing it.
Yeah, exactly.
He's not trying too hard.
No doubt about
the point.
No question about it. So he's great. He's great when it comes to breaking down football. And so the idea and the hope was always that he would join Monday Night Football. And can you imagine anybody who would be better for that job than Peyton Manning? The answer is no.
Only one. Tony Romo.
I'm sorry. We're putting Booger back outside. You're going back outside, brother.
You need to tell him that because it's wrong.
If Peyton is joining the booth, you got to go back outside, Booger. But good news for Booger, he gets to stay inside because Peyton Manning will not join the Monday Night Football booth this year. That is according to Sporting News. ESPN met with him. They flew to meet him in Colorado, Jimmy Pitaro and the execs there at ESPN. They flew there in late March to try to convince him to do it, and he said no.
Money wasn't right.
And they didn't even offer him they didn't even offer him formally. They didn't even get there because that's how disinterested Peyton Manning is in doing Monday Night Football. Listen, how much was Gruden making? $6 million?
I'm shaking my head at John, y'all. I'm not saying y'all can't see me, but I was shaking my head at John. Go right ahead.
I'm saying, was John Gruden he had to be making $6 million because
It was $5 or $6 million.
Yeah, because the Raiders paid him $10 million.
Uh huh.
So they had to get him out of the booth.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean,
they didn't come close to the number.
Right. They didn't come close.
Mm-mm. Now Peyton might not.
How much would you pay?
Look, it's a little bit of a commitment frankly, it's a short part of the year. I guess for Peyton, you could say that's a lot of my year. My year is basically a vacation of doing whatever I want to do. So it is somewhat of a time commitment. But come on, that dude could roll in there and just speak it off the hip.
No, there ain't
much preparation that Peyton Manning's got to do.
Exactly.
And so I'm thinking, you know, and I've always heard that, you know, Peyton about his money, probably that they didn't come close to the number. And it's sort of I can just see, you know, you sliding that
piece of paper.
They're writing the number down. They slide it over to Peyton. And Peyton, bye-bye. Not even close.
Peyton Manning earned $250 million in 18 years in the NFL. And I'm assuming that he invested that well. I mean, even if you blow through 120 of it, you know what I mean?
The thing he does by turning it down, too, is only increase the value later.
Exactly.
Like, you go on now, maybe you're not as good as we all thought you'd be, even though we all think he's going to be a stud, he's going to knock it out of the park,
mm-hmm.
and that value goes down.
Yeah.
You wait. All they're going to do is keep coming at you and jacking up the bidding.
Yeah. Well, and let's be honest, like you said, like there is a commitment that comes with being in the booth. You're traveling somewhere 16 weeks out of the year every Monday, you know, or every Friday, actually.
Look, I wanted Whit to get it, but it just never came off natural.
It didn't.
And including the hair, like it just did not come off natural whatsoever. But more to the point, it just always felt like a force. And it was always felt like, hey, Jason, we need you to be more natural. It's like, okay, I'm going to try.
I mean, we've talked about this before.
And it just didn't
happen.
Because
he's working with Joe Tessitore, who's like.
Intense.
You know, yeah. He's like,
so,
what did you think about that, Whit? He's like, oh, yeah, that was really good. I really thought he did a good job there. Look at the way he got off the block there. Please get the camera off me. I'm nervous. Yeah. Like that's every time I watched Monday Night Football, that's
exactly.
How I felt. Like when the camera would pan to them in the booth.
Uh-huh.
Like I just felt I could see Jason Witten's vein in his forehead.
Yeah, exactly. And that's my point. My point is that whoever they put in there will be better.
Yeah.
Including the man that should be getting it. We all know it's Booger McFarland.
Well, he's getting it.
He's put the dues in.
He's
paid the dues.
Peyton Manning will have.
They're trying to over recruit him, John. They're trying to recruit above his head.
Well, listen, yeah, he wants to just do it's like you said, he wants to do whatever the hell he wants, and he can do whatever the hell he wants. And if he decides one day he wants to run a team, I'm sure somebody will let him do it. He's going to be doing something for ESPN Plus called Peyton's Places. You interested in that? Do you have ESPN Plus?
Yes.
You do have it?
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. So he'll be doing that.
What is that, though? What's Peyton's Places?
I'm not sure exactly.
Is that him stopping in places in America and showing you how beautiful his country is?
Like Marty Smith?
Yeah.
I hope that's what it is. That sounds cool.
I could dig that.
He can go to LA Fitness.
A little humor in there.
He can start at LA Fitness here in Memphis. The sauna doesn't work
with the
half
neck
the time.
Exercises. So we'll get that fixed.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He could stop and he could say, well, here's the sauna. It's like the damn ice cream machine at McDonald's. I mean, has that ever worked? Ever?
When you see him there, is he working out the neck or is it always on the bike?
Well, the only time I've never seen him there. Only my wife has seen him there. And she did not even ask him for an autograph. I know that's weird. Like, do you go up to people in the gym when they're working out and ask for an autograph? But let's be real. When else would you have the chance to do it? You know what I mean? Do you think my wife could have gotten an autograph from Peyton Manning?
Do you think he's the kind of guy you can walk up to when he's working out and he'll give you one?
I think.
And give you a nice attitude?
I lean toward yes.
I think you got to wait till he finishes his reps. Then you kind of go over during a break.
Yeah, I think it's risky to go in there while he's pedaling.
Well, I mean, I've heard stories like, for example, like Randy Orton, the wrestler. Like, I've heard people coming up to him. Now, they're doing a much more intense workout, right? But I've heard stories of people coming up to him and getting gone off on, you know?
Didn't you see KD tell some kids no?
Yes.
Was that in Memphis?
That was in Memphis, yes.
Yeah, I think it's a touch and go situation, but I would say of all athletes who made $250 million in their career, Peyton Manning probably the likeliest to say, all right, fine, you got a pin. You know, and get,
especially
and,
when he's in the great state of Tennessee, right?
Well, he's in his hometown, man, of Memphis, Tennessee.
I don't know what.
Well, I mean, his wife, his adopted hometown. His hometown in law. How's that? Is that fair?
Yeah, I guess so.
I would love to see Peyton Manning, but it doesn't sound like he would want to do it. Plus, also, the New York Post says that Peyton is reluctant to call games that feature his brother.
Oh, boy.
He doesn't want to call games.
That's not a deal breaker, I wouldn't think. Trying to present it as if it is. Again, I think it's about the money,
bro. Night Football.
Yeah, they'll keep you off of it. And You're not going to be on Monday Night Football.
Well, no, I mean, if you're going to do Monday Night Football, you're going to be on every week.
Giants ain't coming on it.
Oh, well, that's true.
You'll be able to keep them off by keeping the Giants off Monday Night Football the next 2 years.
Right. But you're going to have.
Or why Eli's there, how much longer they're going to go with him. I mean, one more, whatever it is.
Gettleman wants to keep him there for life, it sounds like. He's going to give him a lifetime contract.
That dude is ridiculous. You talk about reactive. He got no plan.
He don't want to take. He doesn't. Whose plan is better, the Grizzlies or Dave Gettleman's in New York?
Grizz.
Wow. That's truly something right there.
Jeffrey Wright should be ashamed of that organization.
But anyway, if you were hoping to get Peyton Manning on Monday Night Football, you're going to have to wait. You might have to wait forever. You may never do it. It seems like more likely that he'd run a team.
Bring John Gruden back. He ain't doing nothing.
No, he's doing. He's building a monster.
I can't tell.
I can't wait for Friday's show.
I know you want to.
I mean, Friday's show is going to be really hard for you.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
All you're going to have is a bunch of dudes' names on paper and some what they did in college. They haven't proven anything yet.
This sounds like somebody that doesn't have a pick.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.